B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
It's on the line with us right now from NBC Sports Philadelphia, former Sixer, Temple Owl, Mr. Mark Jackson joins us. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
We're doing all right. We're doing all right today despite a disappointing loss to the Raptors again last night. Now, Mark, I'm trying to be level-headed about this because if you tell me going into the game that you're not going to have Joel Embiid, Josh Richardson's only going to be able to play 4 minutes because of a hamstring strain, and you're going to be in Toronto, and then you tell me 5 minutes left in the game, you're down 3 points, I'm feeling pretty good about it. But this game was very winnable down the stretch. Ben Simmons, 2 points in the fourth quarter, 1 rebound, 8 turnovers in the game overall. I'm almost pleasantly surprised by how close this game was down the stretch, but they let it slip away, it felt like.
Yeah, they did. They did. I just think, you know, this team came in here, you know, on a roll. They were playing very good basketball despite Joel Embiid being out. They're starting to find a chemistry, and then boom, first 4 minutes, a major starting contributor, Josh Richardson, goes down with another hamstring injury. And you kind of like, well, geez, do we get any positive news this season? I mean, it's just bad luck. But going down the stretch, you know, I got the vibe that, yes, we were playing well, but were we going to be able to keep going blow for blow for them when Toronto is so deep? And I think in that fourth quarter, I think we just wore down, and I think Toronto just stepped up with the nucleus of different players who was able to score at times.
Yeah, and I hate going to this, Mark, but Toronto won last night because they were the better team. It's just bottom line. It's the most obvious thing you could say next to because they scored more points. But 46 three-point shots attempted by the Sixers last night. That doesn't seem like the team that Brett Brown and Chief Beef himself, Elton Brand, constructed going into this season. Why do the Sixers feel it necessary to shoot? Even for today's NBA, that's a lot. 46 three-point attempts.
You know what? I think it got to the point last night that Toronto was doing such a good job of closing the lane out that they was going to live and die by the Sixers' three-pointers. And we took advantage of that the first quarter. We made 7 of them. But then as the game went on, guys started to miss, and the game got streaky. And you got to take what the team is giving you. And if they give you the three, you got to shoot it, especially if you got guys who's the better average three-point shooters. But, and, you know, when you're down that amount of guys, sometimes you got to manufacture ways to score. And I thought at that given time, that was the Sixers' best option. And because Ben did not have it going, only 7 field goal attempts and 8 turnovers. I think that's a big problem when your point guard slash main guy has those kind of numbers.
No, I hear you there. And Mark, you got into this a little bit post-game as well. They played some 3-2 last night, 3-2 zone, the Raptors did, to help compact that lane. But there was one specific play late in the fourth quarter. Ben Simmons brings the ball up. And then Ben Simmons ended up scoring on that 2-3 zone because he gave the ball up on the wing. He got the ball back underneath and got an easy 2-point basket, beating the zone. Why not go back to that type of thing more to get Ben Simmons going?
Well, you know, it's interesting about that. They've been doing that the last couple of games. You know, if Ben don't have nothing in transition, he gives it up, and he's been working around the box area. I just think, you know, Toronto did a good job switching AD. They went 3-2, they went back, man, 3-2, and they just threw the Sixers off their rhythm and put them on their heels a little bit, and that's why I think they went away from it. You know, but I really believe Toronto is a great defensive team. They have a lot of pieces that can guard multiple positions, similar to the 76ers. But I just think they had too many bodies. They had too many bodies, and guys like Shake Milton, Furkan, we had to rely on them to try to get something going for us, and we didn't have enough.
Why, instead of Shake Milton, didn't they go with Trey Burke?
You know what? That's interesting, Trey. I'm curious that myself, because I felt as though they need, when Josh went down, he needed some scoring. Mm. And I think that was just Brett Brown reaching to see if he can get something out of Shake. And that was interesting to me because as soon as Josh Rich went down, I said, okay, we should get Trey in. And Trey got a DMP to me. That was quite interesting to me. You need numbers. You need buckets. And I don't know. I'm curious about that myself. We had the same questions.
Mark, Shake goes for 23 minutes last night, 22, 23 minutes. Mike Scott and James Ennis combined for 19. What's going on with the two of them, or was it more of a case where, you know, the style that Toronto was playing, as you laid out, it wasn't conducive to them being on the court?
You know, I just think that James Ennis, I think James Ennis is very important here. Mike Scott is not shooting the ball tremendously well, even though he got going last night. And in the game versus the Nets, he had some big hustle plays late in the game for them. I think coach is just trying to find somebody to give him something. And I think he's looking at James Ennis and Mike Scott as similar type players. So instead of playing them both, one of y'all got to give me something. Whoever's playing the best at that time going to get majority of the minutes. And that's why I think he went that way yesterday. But, you know, people talking trades and people talking we need help scoring. Last night when Josh Richardson went down, that was a prime example of why the 76ers need not just a shooter, but someone that can create for himself. And I think that's a big thing that they're looking for now. But with that being said, Josh Richardson has been playing well with the second unit, and he's been looking to be the go-to scorer for the team. But when he went down, Coach tried to leave Tobias Harrison with the second unit, and Tobias struggled a little bit.
So, Mark, you're talking about, speaking with Mark Jackson, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Sixers pre- and post-game analyst. When you talk about a guy that can create, you talk about a guy that can come off the bench. Well, the Sixers happen to be tied, rumor-wise, to getting Derrick Rose in a Sixers uniform. Would you be in favor, then, of acquiring a Derrick Rose if it's costing you a Mike Scott, a Zaire Smith, a Shake Milton? Like, would you be in favor of the Sixers making that acquisition?
Oh, yeah. I think Derrick Rose has resurrected himself and get the, he may not back all the way back to form, but he's darn sure close, playing at a high level on low minutes. I think that's very important to look at. I think he's averaging 24 minutes a game and is leading the team in scoring. That is a pretty substantial big-time move there for him to be able to do that. So if the Sixers are going to acquire Derrick Rose, I think that answers a lot of their concerns. With that being said, they can acquire whoever they want, but they better not get rid of T. Stiebel.
I'm with you. Think about it like this. I equate it to Landry Shamet. You're giving up somebody that has a very high ceiling, a guy that's a good three-point shooter in Landry Shamet, and a guy that's also willing to go all out every single night. And you have the same guy in Matisse Thybulle, but only he's not that three-point shooter yet, but he's sure as hell is a solid defender, elite defender, you might even say.
Elite. Like, he is... His defensive prowess is so big that I think he has to be considered for the NBA All-Defensive Team. I really believe that. Now, people want to say, oh, he's still young. No, but I don't care. This guy and his ability to play D is remarkable. He is a legitimate stopper in today's game. Now, if we can just get him on the other end and knock down some of these shots, it'd be even better for this team going forward.
Mark, we've had discussion about maybe Derrick Rose being on the Sixers' radar and how he would fit here. Some people are against it. He's not a great three-point shooter. Me, I think everybody here is pretty much for it. How do you feel about Derrick Rose maybe coming here?
What's interesting about that, I agree. He's not a great three-point shooter, but he does other things. He does other things, like he's a scorer. He's a dynamic scorer off the pick and roll or an ISO situation. So he answers the need for buckets. When you have other guys on the floor who's average three-point shooters and you got a guy who can get a bucket in short spurts in 20 minutes of play, look at AKA Lou Williams. Look at Jamal Crawford, who's not in the league right now. But look at guys like that. So you have a question about your second unit? You can put James Ennis or Mike Scott out there with them and say, y'all just spread the floor, pick and pop, let D-Rose do his thing. And that will find its way. And then on the other thing, it's a difference between being a three-point shooter and not being a three-point shooter and just being willing to shoot the three to make teams respect you. And Derrick Rose will at least shoot the three.
Yeah, he's certainly not shy of doing that. Mark, you were obviously here. You're a Philadelphia guy. You're looking at T.O. You're looking at Donovan McNabb. Whose side are you on?
You know what? I need to listen to it a little bit more, but I'm big on chemistry. I'm big on chemistry, and I know what, you know, disruption can do to a team. So no matter who's right or who's wrong, it was disruptive, it created a problem, and it broke up a dynasty to me.
I'm with you there. And Mark, last thing for you here. Our mutual friend, Trey Thomas, who may or may not have signed a jersey for your mother at one point, was sent photos from a fan asking him to autograph about 10 photos.
Yeah, I got about 10 photos.
They're like 5x7 photos, uh-huh. whatever they might be. And one of the photos was Trey Thomas in a Chargers jersey, but there was one catch. It was not actually Trey Thomas. It was some other guy with the last name Thomas in a Chargers jersey.
Yeah.
Have you ever been? Okay.
Yes.
Have you ever been confused for another athlete?
Yeah, listen, dude. Since I moved back to Philly in July of 2017, and I told you, like, I get confused at least once a week. Hey, Trey, how you doing? Like, man, Mark. Like, so to be specific, yes, people call me Trey a lot. I'm like, dude, like, come on, dude. I'm not arm lifts the same, but God, come on. Like,
that, yeah, it's the bald head and everything.
Exactly. And even when people see Golden State highlights, people get me and Eric Dampier confused a lot. And I used to get a lot of Eric Dampier fan mail.
Really?
He would ask me to sign his pictures. Yes.
That's amazing. Yes. I would have never put those together. At one point, maybe we'll have you at our cornhole championship. Maybe we'll have Trey in a Sixers, in your Sixers jersey, and we'll put you in Trey's Eagles jersey, and we'll just see what happens.
Oh, that'd be fun. We think we get eyes to see how many times people can call the other one.
Mark Jackson, always great catch up with you, man. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Have a good one, fella.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.